I'm Frank Vaughn. It's January 15th, 2026. And I would suggest that the PSYOP is working. I would suggest that the odds that Carney is part of some grander scheme to deconstruct Canada, and I think he's going to deconstruct Canada to the benefit of the United States. And you have to understand that it would have to be this way. It would have to be a liberal. I'm going to show you some of the things that the liberals are doing and that their base is just shrugging their shoulders. I witness it myself from people in my own family. They think this guy is at the helm and steering the ship right, but they're completely lost on the details of what his actions actually spell out. And I would also allege that the PSYOP is working on conservatives. Because if you suggest that there's a Machiavellian plan, that there's a scheme afoot that might just benefit American interests, which, by the way, all of Mark Carney's wealth, the vast majority of it anyway, 90-odd percent, is in American holdings with American companies, with American traded assets. Does anybody, let me put it to you this way, do you have a big bag of Bitcoin? Do you got a big bag of XRP? Probably going to get censored now because I've talked about crypto. Do you have a big bag of those things? Do you really hate it when people point out the flaws in both of those cryptocurrencies and structures? Nobody likes people who undermine the value of their bag. Nobody wants to work against the productive increase of their own wealth. Do you think Mark Carney is going to work against his own blind trust, so-called blind trust, his own wealth, his own assets, his own holdings, by working to remove Canada from trade with the United States over the long term? And if you look at Brookfield stocks, just one instance, this is a company which by design, actually I'll show you. I don't actually want to belabor this point too much today because we've already talked about this, but these companies, these banks, Royal Trust Corporation, BMO Global, RBC Global Asset Management, TD Asset Management, these are familiar names. And they will likely reorganize and retool for the coming world. Banks are really good at smelling change in the air and redeploying their interests and their assets. Brookfield is a dedicated company that primarily focuses on leveraging North American economic integration into trade with the world. That's what they do. They integrate North-South, and then they use that position to further fund assets in the world. But this is honestly the least compelling thing about today. Let's look at the Prime Minister's landing in China, which I think is another piece of evidence. Here he is, coming down the ramp, and President Xi is about to greet. Wait a minute, who's that? They sent a pleb. They sent a pleb to greet the Prime Minister. Now, they gave him an honor guard and a bouquet of flowers. So there is that, but they almost look like they're walking this man to a funeral. Like, they all look so grim. Get in the car, shuffle him off. Think about the politics of optics. If China was not in some way, shape, or form doing some kind of rework with North American relations, they weren't in the midst of a rework with European relations. If they were trying to signal the strength of the bond with Canada, the strength with the bond to old style Western power structures, the World Economic Forum, City of London, you think they might have done a little bit more here. Maybe not President Xi himself, although if they were serious about Canada being anything but useful, so by that I mean a strategic partner, some kind of alliance, some kind of message to the United States, they would have made a much bigger deal about this. Canada is a resource colony. That's what we are to the Chinese. We're to be extracted from for their benefit. Now, you could make an argument, if you want to, that the Americans see us the same way, but it's a little bit different with the United States because at least the United States offers us something in return for that extraction. Capital, a lot of capital, as well as, if you want to go back to Trump's talk about the 51st state, he's offered us the Constitution, which is a kingly gift for a citizen. And I know there's limitations. I know there's problems with the empire. Believe me, I've talked about them on this channel. But as a citizen of the United States, under the Constitution, you are much better protected as a productive member of society than you are in Canada, where we have a system where everything is fake. It's all fake. Your charter rights, they're not guaranteed. Government can dispense with them. The government itself is not the people you elect. The parliamentarians that vie for political office can just change parties as soon as they get in there. And before they get there, their marching orders have already been given. They are going to appoint the cabinet. They're going to appoint the government under the governor general that has already been pre-approved. They're not going to do anything different. They're not going to represent you locally. They're not going to break with the script. They're going to do what they're told. That's why they're running in elections. The party system filters them down to rubber stampers across the board. And I'm sorry for the parliamentarians that are there and genuinely in their heart of hearts still want to make a difference. I believe in your intent. There's some of them that are honest, but they're just destroyed by the machine. They're weighed down by the machine. If they stick their head too far above the firing line, it gets taken off. Canada's fake. The system's fake. You want to talk about saving Canada? You should talk about saving the people, and you should talk about liberating us from control by the Communist Party of China, by control from the totalitarian technocracy of the EU. Now, I've never been ratioed ever in my life on X, but this is the closest I've ever come. And this is that tweet that we talked about in the last video. There is nothing stupid about Mark Carney. It is a strategic level mistake to think so. Well, there's hundreds of people in the comment section who refuse to even engage with the idea that what he is doing isn't just pure idiocy, that he's just the same kind of idiot that's been running this country for the last 10 years. That's not the case, folks. And I think you need to break out of that paradigm and that thinking and realize that the idiocy that you're seeing actually makes sense and is political genius if you just invert the script. The script is he's here to save Canada. But if you realize that that's the script, and underneath the surface, the man is doing everything in his power to make sure we have no sovereignty, that we can't stand on our own two feet, things start to make a lot more sense. Just as an example of this psyop, Moose on the Loose does some absolutely amazing bang-up journalism. The Moose Chart is one of the most valuable resources that has ever been compiled in the alternative media here in Canada. But he says coastal First Nations do not have a reserve, are not a band. They are political alliance funded by American multi-billion dollar corporations. You gave veto power to a political group funded by America to control Canada's ability to build a pipeline. Now, on the surface, most people are taking this as absolute idiocy. And I would have been one of them for a long time looking at this and thinking, this isn't what a real nation does. Real nations develop their resources. Real nations build pipelines. Real nations are physically and geopolitically cohesive. We do things that make sense. But then you enter this nonsense. This, instead of being a product of stupidity, makes a hell of a lot more sense if you look at it as part of a strategic strategy to make sure that we don't become physically cohesive, that we don't upgrade the country, that we don't bring it back together. And you know, a corollary of this is that if this is the case, and I'm going to show you other things that are really starting to strengthen this idea in my mind that he is not just the EU China man, that the Order of Canada pin on his suit might mean something else entirely. Because it's not typical. Prime ministers don't wear the Order of Canada. They wear the Canadian flag if they're going to wear anything at all. But there might be a mixed message there. And all of this that I'm presenting, it just makes a lot of sense as to how the Conservative Party of Canada was treated by everybody in the last election, including so-called conservatives in this country. Doug Ford worked to undermine Polyev. The Americans, the podcasting community, the president himself endorsed Mark Carney. The media, the unions, Mark Carney himself, everybody came together to oppose the CPC. Now, I'm not saying they're all in on it. I think think some of them are. But I also think biases, very strong biases, at the very heart of this country, the big red machine has been programming the minds of this country, particularly the older generations. Not everybody. Don't get upset when I call out baby boomers and elder Gen Xers. I'm not calling out everybody. I'm saying the hypnosis has worked on a lot of them. And those people are convinced that Carney and the Liberal Party are the only salvation. And after 10 years of them undermining and destroying this country, they still believe that they are the saviors. And it makes sense if you realize that if you actually care about Canada and trying to hold the system together, which I personally don't, the system of Canada sucks. It needs a rework. It needs to be torn down and rebuilt at the very least. And there's no vision anywhere in politics for that other than this idea of deconstructing Canada for eventual annexation by someone else. If you realize that the Conservative Party of Canada was actually the vote to save the country as it is. And again, I'm not saying that that's necessarily what I want to do. I'd love some more vision. I would love somebody to say, yeah, we need to rip the Constitution back open. And we need to make some needed changes. And we need to have that fight. And we need to have that struggle. And we need to pull it together for the citizen and actually do the hard work. There's no one in politics willing to do the hard work for Canada. But there are those who are willing to, under the banner of saving Canada, work intensively to further undermine our cohesion. Isn't that an inversion? They told you Pierre Poilievre would give the country away to Trump because it's a psyop. It's an inversion. He wasn't the guy to do that. On screen is a headline. More than 1,000 workers at Shared Services Canada told they're affected by cuts. First off, more than 1,000. I would detest if this was a Conservative government, it would have been 1,200. They would have told you the precise number. Bigger the better. And it goes through, and it's a fairly innocuous article. Kind of a shrug of the shoulders. Usually when austerity comes knocking at the national door in the form of a government, it's combined with work to balance the budget. Instead, Mark is spending $100 billion in excess of what we have on nothing. Just further money printing to further cause inflationary pressure. And if you believe the CP lie, one of the only times you'll ever hear me use a colloquial acronym, like I hate plays on words like that. I really do. But the fact is the CP lie is a lie. It is just, it downplays the inflationary pressure that you can feel every time you walk in a store. You know better, trust your own judgment. Only a liberal, only a member of the big red machine could get away with promising to cut 15% of the public service at the same time as running record deficits. And once again, I see it all the time. The liberal base just shrugs their shoulders because Harper, because Poilievre, because the dreaded CPC, because they'll give the country away to the orange man. Carney is positioning us for success. That's what they'll tell you because they are brainwashed. They are hypnotized. Again, headlines like this can only occur when the liberals are doing it. If Poilievre was doing it, it would be national crisis. Here again, Canadian real estate funds freeze redemptions as liquidity strains mount. A group of Canadian real estate funds valued at roughly $22 billion, with a B, have halted investor redemptions, meaning clients can't get their money out even if they want to. Managers say the move is necessary to protect remaining investors and prevent a fire sale of assets that are hard to price and even harder to sell. They're not hard to price, folks. Prices need to come down a lot. People are still listing their houses in Vancouver and Toronto for far more than they're worth. There's real estate, and this actually really aggravates me, because there are real estate agents with online presences that get invited on CTV and get invited on CBC, and they tell you out of one side of their mouth, they say that you can't tell when the bottom's in, nobody can predict it, and then out of the other side, they're like, oh, the bottom's probably in, it's a good time to buy. It's not a good time to buy. The bottom's not in. The journey continues. We are at the beginning of this journey, and the real estate market has not got the memo yet. That's why valuations are too high. It's not hard to price. They just don't want to sell them. They call it a fire sale because that's what it is compared to 2022. There's a lot of people in a lot of trouble, and there's a lot of investment funds in a lot of trouble, And again, there are solutions. There's ways to assuage this. But the federal government is not interested in doing so. Every single action they take undermines our integrity. I argue it's not ineptitude. It is intent. These funds, particularly open-ended private real estate pools, are struggling with liquidity because property values in Canada have softened. Trades are slow, and looming debt maturities make it risky to meet large outflows when the nearest buyers are thin on the ground. Unpack that sentence. We're wrecked. And they're saying to their people, they're saying to their investors, they're saying to their clients, we can't give you your money back because if we give you your money back, the whole Ponzi scheme is going to collapse. So sorry, your money's stuck. Good luck to you. I hope you get to see it at some point years down the road. Tough titty. Again, now this is another thing. There is a housing crisis. Everybody's acknowledged that in Canada. We have spent a decade plus, actually probably two decades, everybody treating their houses like investments that you can just pour capital into and guarantee returns. People have planned their retirements around housing. I remember getting advice in 2019 from one of the fellow PPC candidates that I ran with that he said, you are still young enough that you can do the principal residence flip game and make your money that way. It was such a baked-in part of our economy. Now, I never did that. I just want to live in my house. And that's kind of how I view a house. It's a place to live. It's actually, and I don't want to get into HELOCs and everything else. That would be a great big digression. It was such a baked-in reality of our economy. Everybody invested in drywall and lumber and paint, and for a long time could make fortunes doing so. Those days are over. And once again, while boomer retirements that they plan on extracting from the value of their homes are evaporating in real time. So there's people who have planned to sell for $1.5 or $2 million so that they could retire on that money. Now they can only get $1.2 or $1.1. That's today. Knock this down the road a few more months as debt rolls over and renews at much higher interest rates. Prices are going to tank even further. Especially in Toronto and Vancouver. Those boomers are going to be stuck. They're not sitting on top of the pot of money that they think they are. And there's tons of examples already of people who sold offside and just don't have anything to show for it. Their plans have been shattered. But it doesn't change their minds politically because there's a Liberal prime minister, a gifted investor, a central banker, a man at the helm who can take care of business. He'll make it better. So in the midst, where's those 500,000 homes he promised to build, by the way, 500,000 a year? All of that's irrelevant, folks. All the promises he made during the election, the red meat for the Liberal base, none of it's going to happen because it was never intended to happen. This is a PR campaign. I think this is a concerted plan, and the plan is to deconstruct Canada. Only a Liberal could get away with creating the circumstances that destroy the last 20 years worth of economic planning of most people who are moving towards the age of retirement. Their home values are plummeting. Immigration's getting pared back. Canada actually experienced a decline in population for the first time because of some of that paring back. And once again, only a Liberal could have came along. And I know there's still a lot of immigration. Don't get me started. I know that. But the fact is they tapped the brakes and they're starting to roll it back. And if it was a conservative who did that, the media and everybody would have been calling them racist. But because it's a Liberal, people are accepting it. They're accepting public service cuts. They're accepting record deficits. They're accepting the valuations of their home in decline. They're accepting the purchasing power of their dollars getting nuked because the dreaded conservatives, the shadow of Stephen Harper, we've been saved from it. This is what's getting saved from it looks like. You can't get your money back. Once again, building on that message that Doug Ford and Mark Carney and so many are carefully sending to the world that Canada is a dangerous place to invest. Now, if you look at it as idiocy, I think that's part of the psyop. You're supposed to think it's stupid. You're supposed to think it's the average, ordinary ineptitude that we're all used to. What if it isn't? What if it's part of a plan? What if they laughed at you when you showed up at a Mark Carney rally doing your chicken dance? What if they were laughing? I think they were laughing no matter what. but it's a sign that the PSYOP is working. And just for a better headline, because Canadian news, you know, downplays everything. Canadians are furious after real estate funds lock up their money. We have to go to Bloomberg for a more realistic assessment. There's people who are going to take issue with me using the word PSYOP. All political operations are a PSYOP. It's not some conspiracy theory. It's not some wild tinfoil hat. Politicians conspire to manipulate the public mind all the time. That is the nature of politics. It's figuring out what people will stomach and trying to convince them to put an X on a ballot for your particular team that represents your particular group of elites that you never get to vote for. Cast your eyes about Canada. Look at David Eby. Look at Doug Ford. There seems to be a coordinated effort to make us look stupid and senile in the eyes of the world to keep capital out of this country and to keep the flow of capital leaving. Because the capital that's already been here, since Mark Carney took office, $60-odd billion have fled this country in commitments. We're no closer to building pipelines. We're no closer to doing anything productive. And I think it only gets worse as we head into spring and summer. And I don't believe for a second it's accidental. It's part of a coordinated strategy. And I used to think that it was a coordinated strategy to indebt and surf and create a new serfdom for Canada under the EU and under China. But it may not be. It may be about truly creating this new North American Union. And it has to be done by a Liberal. It has to be done under the banner of saving Canada. And while we're out here fighting about the wrong things, I mean, just look at X. Look at Meta. Oh, by the way, there's people who say they can't find my Facebook page. It's because I'm not there anymore. I had enough of it. I was there for 3 days. It is utter garbage, nonsense, trash. The people in Minneapolis are probably reacting and trying to mimic AI videos that they've seen. And I think that's a flashpoint. Maybe we'll examine that in the next video as to how the psychological operation of that works in my mind. People need to understand, as I look at people arguing about the wrong things, part of a good PSYOP, if this is indeed what's going on, because I'm open to it not being, by the way. I mean, I sound more sure in this video than I have in the last three, and I would encourage you to watch the last three. Because I think it makes a strong case. It's important that the dichotomy is a false one. Dichotomy just means the conflict, the discord that you see in society, the back and forth that goes on social media every single day. You don't want it to take on substantive qualities. You want it to be ephemeral. You want it to be useless. You want to keep people's energy tied up in frivolous activity that is distracting them from finding real causes. I think instead of listening to words and slogans, we need to start assessing the actions of our governments as being strategic. And what strategy would they serve? Mark Carney, one way or another, is here to end Canada. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like the work, please consider supporting it via the website. I'll see you in the next one.